This April 23rd picks edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code MLBSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Monday, April the 22nd. We are here to have a look at what is a full slate of games for Tuesday, April 23rd. That makes it St. George's Day tomorrow, Moonaf. I know you like your silly holiday in America. It's barely a week goes by without you people having a having a holiday. That's our national day tomorrow, St. George's Day. We don't get a day off, though. Mr. Moonaf Manji, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Another meaningless holiday coming up. Not meaningless, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, it's fine.
I just noticed my, if you could see that, my phone screen protector cracked, so I got to get a new one now. But it's a brand new week, Malcolm. Glad to be here with you. I feel like me and you haven't done a podcast in a while, so we'll see what kind of shenanigans we can get into today.
Yeah, we have. We haven't had an old man special for a little while. The young people have been taking over. Captain Insano first in the chat. I know Captain Insano is a fan of an old man special. Today already. Baseball is mad for the stupid stuff that happens. We know this. We like to talk about these things whenever they happen. And in the first game of the week, within the first five pitches of the first game of the week, there was one of those ridiculous baseball things. This has already happened in baseball today, where Aaron Boone got thrown out because someone in the crowd shouted at the umpire, and the umpire thought it was Aaron Boone. Holy shit. I've just tried showing Bob and Betty, and they're like, watch this. And they're like, well, why could they not just explain that it wasn't him? The whole thing's A, baffling, but B, really, really funny. And what was funny was the bloke in the blue shirt sitting behind the dugout. It was just shrugging his shoulders and what? The people behind him were pointing, saying it was him. It was him sitting there. Absolutely astonishing incident, but really funny, Moonaf. Classic MLB, I would say.
If I was the guy in the blue shirt, I would have been like, yeah, that was me yelling. You don't need to throw our manager out. But, you know, typical Yankee fans, they don't really care. Yeah, that was hilarious. I saw it this morning. Somebody had tweeted out and said, Aaron Boone gets ejected, ... for saying nothing, ... So I went back and watched, you know, what you were mentioning. And it was absolutely hilarious. Even Aaron Boone was like, after like he warned him, he's like, all right, you know, I'm good. And then it's funny because I don't know which of our announcers, what the guys were like, oh, we won't need a John Boy media translation for this, because you hear everything loud and clear. But I mean, that's an absolute huge mistake by the umpire there. I mean, he was just feeling so entitled. And he goes, he's like, I don't care if it was you or not, you're gone. I mean, at that point, like, yeah, I would have thrown a huge fit there. But yeah, that was another day for MLB umpires, Mel.
I missed like the first 30 seconds. I put the game on. Yep. And as per usual, I ran out to make me cup of tea, like I always. So I missed the first three pitches. And when I came back in to sit down, Boone and the ump were arguing. And I thought, is this a replay? Is this the highlight of last season or something? How have they got into a fight in the 45 seconds that I've been out the room? But yeah, why at the end of the first inning, someone can't just show the umpire the replay or just come and tell him and let him carry on?
Or but even like the other umpires too, right? The ones at first base, at like third base, like no, but not. He's like, no, nope. Just didn't want to be held accountable for making a mistake there. But yeah, it is what it is.
It was brilliant. It was a good start for the pick. So myself and Lontney, I love the under. Really like the under. I like JP Sears, and he pitched very well. There wasn't an extra base hit in that game. There was only four hits through eight innings. No extra base hits at all. It was nothing. Until, was it Geloff hit a two-run homer?
Yeah.
The first extra base hit of the day. And then that was that. I do like Mason Miller, the Oakland closer. He just comes out and just throws it really hard, 103 mile an hour. Aaron Judge looked more out of sorts than I've seen Aaron Judge look ever, I think. I think he struck out four times yesterday, Sunday night, getting booed. The boo birds were out in the Bronx, which they're very fond of. But I watched his at-bats today, and he just never looked. I never thought he's going to put the ball in play here. He struck out. I don't know if he struck out once or twice and flew out a couple of times. But yeah, that division is really, really tight because a lot of teams going along okay. And then you've got teams like Boston who are going along a little bit better than okay. And there's not going to be much in that division at all year. I can't see too much changing really. If anyone, Baltimore. Is stretching the legs a little bit, but you could throw a blanket over all five teams now, and I absolutely think come the 1st of September, you'll be able to throw a blanket over all five teams then as well. What else has been happening this weekend, Moonaf? You've been doing NBA playoffs, is that correct?
Yeah, NBA playoffs kicked off on Saturday, and you know, we're going to have NBA playoffs all throughout the week, at least three games per day until the weekend, and that's where they ramp it up to all four games, and then we'll have I think round two maybe starting the following week, and then we'll go from there. So yeah, NBA playoffs, and also hockey fans, if you're a hockey fan, NHL playoff kicks off kicked off as well. So yeah, great time to be a sports fan. I know you're winding down the EPL season as well, so yeah, it's a lot of great stuff happening right now.
Yeah, the FA Cup at the weekend was unbelievable. There was, we talked a little bit about it on the show a long time last night. There was very nearly one of the all-time great upsets yesterday in the FA Cup. When that fourth goal went in, I was jumping around like Newcastle had scored when Coventry scored that fourth goal. And then VAR disallowed it by literally the length of a toenail. Yeah. If you believe where they drew the lines, which is a little bit suspicious. But yeah, nearly an absolute all-timer. But yeah, the Champions League is in the semi-final stage, and the Premier League got four games to go, coming up to a conclusion there at both ends of the table. So go and listen to all of those shows. Listen to the Premier League Gambling Podcast. Good-looking host on there. Another thing to listen to is the NFL draft action, draft props, mock drafts, and the watch party. Are you drafting for the Texans again, Moonaf?
So Texans don't have a first round pick this year because they traded it last year to Arizona for Will Anderson. So they don't have a first round pick this year, but I'll probably sit in. I'll probably, you know, one of those substitute guys for, you know, a team that doesn't have a person or contributor for the network. So we'll see.
Yeah. So that's Thursday night. The Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page. Hang out with everybody. Loads of the network guys hanging out on there for the best NFL draft party. I think Noah will be. Noah Bennett's got boots on the ground as well for the watch party. So yeah, loads of fun things there. Right. Okay. Tuesday night, Moonaf, 6:10 Eastern, first pitch. We are underway with the Boston Red Sox at the Cleveland Guardians. We have Tanner Houck for Boston, and Ben Lively will go for Cleveland. -110 for Boston, -118 for the Guardians. I have not seen a total yet for this one. Not many totals on the board, Moon. If you've got a total of this at all, you might have to keep me up to date with the totals here.
Let me see here. I thought I did see it over on a books that have opening numbers. I see an 8 right now for this game between Tanner Houck and Ben Lively.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Tanner Houck's been brilliant. 3-1 with a 1.35 ERA. In fact, the Boston starting pitching has been unbelievable. Well, a 1.73 starting pitching ERA, Moona, for your Red Sox so far. And Tanner Houck with a 1.35 ERA has been a huge part of that. Three of his four starts have gone scoreless. He had a full game three-hit shutout against these Cleveland Guardians last week. Now, this is what I want to ask you, Moonaf. This is something where my lack of history would let me down. In that situation, a three-hit shutout against the same team last week, do you back the team to adjust, or do you back the pitcher to continue and dominate them, or is it just a anything could happen situation?
I tend to go with the other team making those adjustments, but especially in this fact, Malcolm, that he pitched a complete game as well. So yeah, his pitch count was probably higher, you know, something that he's probably not used to doing. I mean, you take a look at his other starts. He made it to the sixth inning in the other two starts, almost to the sixth inning against the Angels as well. But I would tend towards taking or looking at the Guardians maybe to snap out of it versus backing Tanner Houck again.
Okay, well, that goes completely against what I did, because I back Houck to back it up again. I like Ben Lively. He threw in the same game last week, five innings, three hits, two earned runs, one home out, struck out seven Red Sox. I think the sensible thing to do would be to take the under, maybe, the prudent thing to do, if you do like both pitchers. But Boston have been so good on the road, even if Houck gives up a couple, they could still win. They're 10-3 on the road. Really, this boils down to I prefer Houck over Lively. I think both teams are very, very similar, but I slightly prefer Houck over Lively. The books are undecided as well. I'll take Boston Mounoff at -110.
Yeah, Boston has been really bad at Fenway Park, 3-7, and like you mentioned, they've been 10-3 on the road this far. And I couldn't fault you for taking Tanner Houck here because he's in great form. I know he had one bad start, which was against the LA Angels, and similarly, you know, that was his second start against the Angels because he had pitched against them previously on April the 7th, and he faced them again on April 12th. So they possibly made those adjustments there, and this could be a possibility where the Guardians make those same adjustments as well. But I'm not sure if I could trust the Guardians offense at this point as well. You mentioned Ben Lively. I think this guy was the last year we faded a lot because he was an absolute gas can, but came out and did very well against the Red Sox, and then maybe the Red Sox and they do something similar as well. But I'm going to trim this down. I'm going to go with the first five innings here with the Red Sox in this matchup. I still believe in Tanner Houck. He can go along well. I just don't trust Ben Lively. Maybe that was a one-off here, but he still gave up two earned runs to the Red Sox in those five innings pitched. Did have seven strikeouts, but I'll look at first five inning money line here for the Red Sox.
Okay, so we're both want a little piece of the Red Sox. Jake Brubaker in the chat. I don't know if you remember, Moon, after about three glorious weeks in the summer of 2022, we all thought Jake was paid Brubaker's brother, yeah, because Jake told us he was. Jake, you're a bad man. But I did enjoy that. That was good. Welcome back. Give us a few picks in the chat if you've got any. We move along to a 6:40 Eastern first pitch, the Philadelphia Phillies, Cincinnati Reds. Good looking pitching matchup, this intriguing. Christopher Sanchez and Andrew Abbott, two lefties going. -133 for the Phillies, +105 for Cincinnati. It was hard to split, really. It wasn't one of my favourite games to pick. Both pitchers have been absolutely great. A concern here for me was the Cincinnati bullpen, only because Frankie Montas came out the game early yesterday. He got a comebacker off his shin. And since he had to throw a lot of bullpen arms at the game after Montas did leave, it looks like a pitching duel. Philly's still not convincing me at all. I like Cincinnati, but they can blow hot and cold. Both pitchers have been great. So a first five under for me, Mounoff, was a short handicap of that one.
Yeah, Hunter Green, we've talked about him a lot on our podcast, dating back to last season as well. He did have three walks in his last start. I mean, we know that it's either going to be strikeouts or going over the
fence.
Have you
got Hunter Green, Mounoff, yeah?
I thought I saw Hunter Green. I'm sorry. That's for today. I'm so sorry. Andrew Abbott. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Andrew Abbott. Let me change my sheet here because I have it for today. Yeah. So Andrew Abbott. I mean, you remember at the beginning of the season, I took a big flyer on him to lead the league in strikeouts. Just hasn't really gotten there yet. He's allowed at least two earned runs in three of his four starts. And really, the Reds have been kind of inconsistent in his starts, at least providing run support. I mean, they got 11 against the White Sox, but again, who's not doing that these days? They got, and he did face the Phillies as well in Philadelphia. 5 1/3 inning, three hits, two earned runs in that game. Did give up two walks, four strikeouts, but the offense really supported him in that spot. And you mentioned Christopher Sanchez as well is doing very well against the opposition. They finally did the Phillies win a game where he's pitched last week against Colorado. The previous three starts, they had lost all three of those games, and they didn't give him much run support either. They had a combined 7 runs in those three starts. So I'll go with the under in this game here. I see an 8.5. I think these pitchers can go along well. So that'll be the play here for me. As far as a side, I'll lean towards the Reds here, but the total's my favorite play.
Next game is a little bit up in the air due to an injured list situation. 6:40 Eastern, first pitch between the Brewers and the Pirates. And Wade Miley, I handicapped Wade Miley a couple of hours ago, but has since gone on the IL with elbow inflammation. So situation in flux there. Trev, our resident Brewers fan, is in the chat, so I've asked asked Trev if he can tip us off. Bailey Falter, left-handed pitcher, goes for Pittsburgh. There are some lines, -125 for the Brewers, -105 for Pittsburgh, with a total of 8.5. The two offenses, I absolutely trust the Brewers more than I trust the Pirates at the moment.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh have lost 9 of 11. The Brewers have actually lost DL Hall as well on the injured list, I'm just seeing. So two of their starting pitchers have gone down in the last 18 hours or so. So, yeah, I trust the Brewers' offense first, but without a pitcher, Munaf, I can't go much further into this one.
Yeah, I didn't see a replace or a confirmed starter either in place of Wade Miley. Let me double check another side here. But if he just got scratched, we probably won't find out.
The DL Hall situation, really, because that's two out of the five gone down. So they will be all over the place making moves trying to address that.
Yes, and I still see Miley listed at some other books here. So again, I don't see lines up either. Currently, everything's off right now. So I don't know anything for this game. So
they might be old lines.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. There's no point dwelling on something we can't affect. Next up is where are we going? 6:45 Eastern first pitch. LA Dodgers at the Washington Nationals. Two lefties going in this one as well. James Paxton for the Dodgers and Patrick Corbin going for the Nationals. Lines are -225 for the Dodgers, +175 for Washington. I mean, not much you can do with this. Washington have been lively. I say this quite a lot when we get a short price favourite. I'm immediately drawn to the underdog to see if I can make a case for the underdog, but it's really hard in this situation because there's nothing to recommend Corbin. Four starts, he's given up 5, 7, 4, and 4 earned runs. Washington have lost his last three starts by 4, 6, and 4, including a 6-2 defeat to the Dodgers. So really, you don't have to look any further than those numbers. Paxton, I had high hopes for coming into the season, and he's performed really well. Not been brilliant last time against the Padres. He walked 8 batters. I don't know how that's possible. I mean, he must have got up to a gazillion pitches. 8's a lot, isn't it? That's one short of everyone he's walked. Everyone have a turn. His only road start so far was at Minnesota and was fine. So, like I say, the deciding factors for me were those 4-run, 6-run, and 4-run defeats, including that one against the Dodgers. So, not big or clever, Munaf, but a Dodgers run line looks like the obvious play. See if I can find a price for that. No price on the Dodgers run line, but -225 to win the game. So, we might get, -130, something like that.
Yeah, let me see if I can find another book that has it up, possibly. For Tuesday. Yeah, FanDuel right now has a -1.5, -137. So, yeah, close to -130. But, yeah, I'm right there with you. Also, the Dodgers will be out for a little bit of revenge because the Nationals actually went into Dodger Stadium and beat them in 2 out of the 3 games. I think it was just last week, right? So, And they did face this Patrick Corbin starter, did the Dodgers, and they got to him early. And I had the team total over 5.5, took a little bit to get there. But I think for this Dodgers team, I think they'll really get it going offensively here. Like you mentioned, Patrick Corbin is back to being Patrick Corbin here. So I'll keep it simple. Nationals stack here, -1.5. Take their team totals over where this first five innings are full game for the Dodgers.
Okay, we will move along once I've told you about Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs, we just talked about, we're moving off Underdog Fantasy. Are trying to make it a lot more interesting. It is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. The pick 'em game is really easy. Just select higher or lower on player stats that you like. Points, rebounds, assists. You can mix and match your sports, so you can make them all basketball if you want. You can throw in a bit of MLB. You can throw in a bit of soccer. Win up to 100 times your money. Loads of fun. Available in 30 or more states is Underdog, including California, Texas, and in Canada. Make sure you sign up with our promo code, MLBSGPN. Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy, promo code MLBSGPN. Remember, Underdog is available in 30 states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they also just launched Champions, which is their player versus player format in Florida. Florida is a great place to get involved in Underdog Fantasy at the moment. So I'd very much recommend you go and do that. Next up, 6:50 Eastern first pitch, Detroit Tigers at the Tampa Bay Rays. Kenta Maeda draws the start for the Tigers. And Ryan Pepiot, still haven't decided, on the hill for the Rays. +125 for the Tigers, -163 for Tampa Bay. Kenta Maeda is 0-1 on the earth, 7.64 ERA. And I made a mistake last week because I took him against Texas. It was the game that Jack Leiter pitched for Texas, so I watched it quite closely. And I thought I was happy to fade Leiter, which kind of worked out because he gave up plenty of runs. It was a high-scoring game. But also, Maeda couldn't keep the ball in the yard at all. He only went 2 2/3, 7 hits, 5 earned runs. Three homers he gave up. And really, he's only had one good start in 4 now. And his whip's far too high. He's letting far too many ducks on the pond here. Pepiot, 2 good starts, 2 bad starts. He has held 2 of the weaker offenses, the Rockies and the Angels. And I kind of put Detroit in that bracket because they're not high-octane offense. They can occasionally break out, but they're not a constant source of terror. I like Tampa Bay Rays, and my final note here is they're probably too short to give out as a pick. I hadn't seen the lines, and now I've seen them at -163. They are a little bit too short to give out as a pick. But I do like a team total. Guessing it'll be 4.5. Mm-hmm. Maybe 5. But anyway, I think my agent can give up a few. This is the kind of spot the Rays are good at. Taking on a team, a mediocre team at home and being able to turn the screw. So Tampa Bay Rays team total against a vulnerable Maeda, Mooner.
Yeah, Maeda has just not been very good, to put it lightly. It's interesting because the Tigers have scored 85 runs and they've given up 84. So they have a +1 run differential. They've actually 8-3 on the road thus far this season. But if it's Maeda starting, I mean, I can't trust this guy. You mentioned all the numbers. I'm not going to repeat it again. But again, he's susceptible to giving up that home run ball. So maybe if you're a player prop better, maybe you want to look at some home run props in this game for the Tampa Bay Rays side at least. And then Ryan Pepiot, or Pepiot, whatever you want to call it, we'll get the proper pronunciation to give him his respect. But he faced the Tigers last season when he was with the Dodgers. He went 6 innings, allowed 1 earned run, which was a solo home run. Other than that, he was absolutely fantastic for the Dodgers last season before coming over here to the Rays. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big price on the Rays tomorrow. -162 is what I see. But if you want to take a look at the run line for the Rays, I couldn't talk you off of that, or team total over for the Rays, like Malcolm mentioned.
Okay, next. Where are we going? Down there. 7 p.m. 7:05, sorry. Oakland Athletics. Against the New York Yankees. Paul Blackburn Day, Moonaf. We like Paul Blackburn Day. He will take on Marcus Stroman of the Yankees. +175 for the A's. -225 for the Yankees with Stroman. I mean, what do you do now, Moonaf, after that today? What side do you come down on here?
It's Paul Blackburn. And Paul Blackburn is the one pitcher that we always want to back when we're facing or backing the A's. But the Yankees' bats are cold right now. Paul Blackburn did have a start last year against the Yankees. He was great in that start, 5 1/3, 4 hits, 1 earned run, which was a solo home run he gave up. And Marcus Stroman on the other side there, I want to say against, he faced the Blue Jays in his last start, did pretty well. And he's been pretty solid. He's given up, he had one bad start, which was against the Marlins. I can't get away from Paul Blackburn, especially at this price here, Malcolm, +170 on the money line here. I'll take him in the first 5 innings, split a unit in the full game as well. I did that last week, worked out very well for me. So I'm going right back to Paul Blackburn here.
Yeah, I agree with you, Munaf. You can't get away from Blackburn. I had the thing in my head when I looked at handicapping this that he was just 1,000 times better at home. But his road start at Detroit was good. He started 4 games. Oakland have won them all. Bosh, dead easy. Stroman's last two weren't brilliant, and he gave up 4 earned runs against Miami. Blackburn pitched at the Yankees once before. 2022 was fine. Moonaf, it is game 24 of the season, and it is the first time I'm going to utter the fateful words, Oakland first 5. It took me 24 games, Moonaf. I've been holding out. I've been going cold turkey. I've been dragged it out to anticipate. Had the people on a knife edge. But Oakland first 5 for the first time in 2024. Let's go behind Paul. Blackburn, 7:20 Eastern first pitch. He's the Miami Marlins at the Atlanta Braves. Left-handed pitcher Trevor Rogers. For Miami, left-handed pitcher Max Fried for the Braves, who are, as you'd assume, a very prohibitive favourite, -250. Miami are +180. Miami have lost 9 of the last 10 at Atlanta, by an aggregate of 86-20. So there's a little hint, if you want to know where this is going to end up. Rogers is all right. I like Trevor Rogers. He's 0-2. He's got a 3.92 ERA. His last three starts were great, but Miami scored 1 run in each of those. So unless everybody shuts down the Oppo, he can't win. Included in that is an 8-1 defeat to Atlanta on the 12th of April, where he only gave up 2 earned runs. So Trevor Rogers can pitch as well as he likes. It's not going to make any difference because he's going to get no help off anybody. Freed's been really wobbly. In fact, Freed gets the opposite side of the coin to Trevor Rogers here. He's got a start where he only went 2 outs. He's got a 7 earned run start, 1 good one and 1 average one. But the common thread is Atlanta have won all 4 of them. So it doesn't matter what Rogers does, he can't win. It doesn't matter what Freed does, he can't lose. They've scored 34 runs in those 4 games that Max Fried started in Atlanta for him. So even if you want Rogers or you want to fade Fried, you can't. The only option is Atlanta on the run line, Moonaf. You've got no other options, I'm afraid. Sorry.
No. Go ahead and finish your point.
No, that was my point. I was just apologising for giving people no other alternative than to take Atlanta on the run line, Moonaf. All other avenues have been closed off.
And it makes perfect sense to take Atlanta because, like you mentioned, that one good start for Max Fried was against the Miami Marlins. And why? Because the Marlins have not been very good against left-handed pitching. And case in point, Max Fried, a left-handed pitcher who did have success in his previous start this season against the Miami Marlins. And I'm trying to pull up the exact numbers here. Four left-handed pitching stats for the Miami Marlins. And I'll start with my favorite stat, WRC plus against left-handed pitching. Miami, second to last. Team batting average, Miami, third worst. Slugging percentage, they are third worst. OPS, they are second worst. If you want to look at WOBA, they are second worst. So now you have a left-handed pitcher going up against the Marlins here in Max Fried. I think he's going to have success again And the cherry on top of the cake here, Malcolm, Trevor Rogers in his career in 8 appearances against the Braves, 0-6 with a 5.70 ERA. So
beautiful.
Yeah, it's Braves in all ways here. I mean, it's a boring pick, but I think it's going to be another winning pick on the Braves run line.
I mean, there will be certain spots where I take the Marlins. I thought last night, Sunday night's game, I thought they were a great price. Edward Cabrera took on Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah.
Kyle Hendricks has given up 5 earned or maybe 4 earned in each of his starts minimum. And then Miami plus 140. Cabrera's good. So they get Garrett back, I think, next week. Cabrera. So I'm not totally and utterly writing them off, but this is a situation. It would just be far too clever to try and talk yourself into anything but the outcome we've both come down on, Muna. Next up is a 7:40 Eastern first pitch between the worst team in baseball, Moonaf, the Houston Astros, and the Chicago Cubs. We have just, okay, I've just seen JP France has been announced for Houston. I didn't have that down earlier on. And left-handed pitcher Jordan Wicks. We'll go for the Cubbies. I've seen no lines on this at all, Moonaf. I literally just seen France going for Houston. I mean, give us a couple of lines on Houston, by the way, Moonaf, first of all, before you tell us about this game, because I haven't spoke to you probably for about 10 days, and they haven't been winning much.
Not at all. They're 3-7 over their last 10 games. I mean, if at this point of the season, if I told you that the Oakland A's would have a better record than the Houston Astros, you would probably want me to go get a drug tested or something like that. It's been the pitching. I mean, you take a look, they've given up 124 earned runs. That's the second worst in the entire MLB, not just in the American, but the entire MLB. The only team that's been worse is the Colorado Rockies. I know they got Justin Verlander back. But until this pitching staff turns it around, and even frankly the offense, this team right now looks like they may not make the playoffs, as crazy as that may sound. I know we still have 100 and some odd games still to go here, but I think that pretty soon you're going to have to push the panic button here for the Houston Astros. And obviously getting Verlander back is huge. And this team hasn't been shy about making the moves to go acquire talent to improve the team. But right now it's just not very good right now for this Astros team. But the good news for this game, and you said Jordan Wicks is starting for the and you said he's left-handed pitcher, right?
That's him.
Yeah. So and the Astros have been really good against left-handed pitching. Just got to make sure which way the wind is going to be blowing in this game here. But I couldn't touch JP France with my money right now because he hasn't been very good either. The Astros have lost all 4 starts that he's made this season, but I do think the Astros can get runs against a left-handed pitcher in this game. But again, double check which way the wind is going to be blowing in this game, because that obviously is going to be the difference for, you know, if we see runs or if we don't see runs. But it's mainly the pitching right now for the Astros, both the starting rotation and the bullpen as well.
Yeah, that bullpen, a 5.78 ERA, the bullpen. We mentioned them after, I think when Houston lost four of the first five, we said all 4 had been lost by the bullpen, but they would get better. We're now 2.5 weeks later, and they haven't got any better. And the offense has scored 2.7 runs per game in the last 6.
They need to go trade for Blackburn.
Sorry?
They need to go trade for Paul Blackburn.
I think, write this down, timestamp this, Moonaf. Paul Blackburn will go at the Atlanta Braves soon. Before summer's out, Paul Blackburn will be an Atlanta Brave. Yeah, I take the Cubs, the France, Jordan Wicks I quite like. His ERA is in the 5s, but it's still 2 runs lower than France's. So, yeah, nothing to recommend, Houston. Haven't seen any prices, so a short handicap, but I'll be having a little go on the Cubs. 7:40 Eastern first pitch is the Toronto Blue Jays against the Kansas City Royals. Kevin Gausman for the Blue Jays and Michael Wacker for Kansas City. -125 on Toronto, -105 for Kansas City. Moonaf, did you know Kevin Gausman is terrified of monkeys?
Terrified, I tell you. Just be because he looks it like is. he's seeing monkeys out there when he's pitching. I don't know what's going on with him.
That might be it. Who've you got here?
Yeah, Kevin Gausman bounced back nicely against the Yankees in his last start. 5 innings pitched. He only allowed 1 earned run. Did give up 3 walks, 6 strikeouts, 4 hits in that span. But prior to that, against the Rockies, he was bad. Had a bad start against the Yankees. I'm not sure if I can continue trusting him, but the Blue Jays are playing some great baseball right now. I believe they've won either 3 or 4 straight series over the last couple of weeks here. So, and again, Michael Wacha is a pitcher that he just hasn't been getting much of run support, Mal. The 4 starts that he's made combined, 9 runs in those games that the Royals have scored. I'm not sure what I'm going to get out of Michael Wacha. I think that I would maybe look at the over in this game at 8.5 right now. Blue Jays offense seems like it's starting to getting going a little bit. So I think we see runs between these two pitchers. I couldn't talk you off if Kevin Gausman is going to build off of his last start against the Yankees against his Royals team here. So over 8.5. And if you put a gun to my head, I would probably go with the Blue Jays in this spot.
Yeah, I was interested to see the prices when I handicapped this because I like Wacha and I like the Royals. Wacha's been holding this KC rotation together really nicely. Kansas City have been fine. They've been really good at home. And I don't trust Gausman and I don't trust the Blue Jays, Moona. I actually wouldn't have minded if the Royals were a slightly bigger price, maybe a touch over even money. I might probably at -105. I'll probably be able to find it in even money or even a 21-20 somewhere. So yeah, I like the Royals. Moona up on the other side of that one. 7:40 Eastern first pitch. The Chicago White Sox. I shouldn't laugh when I say their name. Chicago White Sox at the Minnesota Twins. Eric Fetty going for the White Sox and Pablo Lopez goes for the Twins. +210. For the White Sox, the Twins are a $3 favorite here. Not an awful lot you can do with this, Moonaf. I'm not really interested in the Twins. Me and Lonte talked about the Twins for a little while last night and declared them the most boring team in baseball. I think they'd scored 66 runs just in their 20-odd games before last night. But this is a good spot. This is a game they'll win 4-1. You know, it'll be dull. The only possible bet I would look at would be a Pablo Lopez K prop, if there was one kicking around. It's too early to see those on the books. But I'll have a look at that. But other than that, I mean, I don't really want to take the Twins on the run line. You can't take an alt run line. You can't take the White Sox. It's a very unappealing betting proposition. So a player prop for Pablo Lopez. Maybe an outs prop for Pablo Lopez as well. One of those two. But that's about it.
Yeah, I had no interest in this game. I mean, I don't think I understand why he's close to a $3 favorite. But I agree with you guys. The Twins are one of the most boring teams in the entire MLB. And right now for this White Sox team where they've only won 3 games on the season, they're 1-9 on the road. It's not quite Astros level. I mean, Astros are not White Sox level just yet, but I mean, the White Sox are this bad for a reason. But I say all that, I just don't have any interest in this game. I mean, if you want to look, like you mentioned, Pablo Lopez strikeout prop or outs over prop, I couldn't talk you off of that. But yeah, I'm not laying $3 with the White Sox, and I'm not, or sorry, with the Twins, and I don't have any interest putting money on the White Sox here.
I'm laughing because the White Sox have only won 3 games. The Twins have only won 7. Not much in it. They could catch them up this week.
Exactly.
With a little heat of the White Sox, they could be right on their tails. So, yeah, horrible game. Randy / Natasha has joined us in the chat. If you didn't know, Moonaf, Randy's got an alter ego where he likes to throw on a boob tube and a mini skirt and come into the chat as Natasha lately. So, hey, Randy / Natasha, how are you? Thanks for joining. We will move on. 7:45 Eastern first pitch. The Arizona Diamondbacks at the St. Louis Cardinals. Hooray. The D-backs have no pitcher here, which I think Merrill Kelly got scratched late last night. I only saw that news today. And Slade Ciccone was called back up, but I think he pitched quite recently. So a little bit like we talked about the Brewers earlier on, the Diamondbacks will have to do some juggling to get their ducks in a row here, pitching-wise. They also lost Blaze Alexander to a hammy as well. I don't know how bad it is, but he's been a really fun a fun player so far for the D-backs. So a little bit of a mess here for the D-backs. I've seen no lines for this, but it is Stephen Matzkoen for St. Louis Cardinals, or to give them their full name, Moonaf, the last-placed St. Louis Cardinals. They remain in last place. So I've got no odds here, Moonaf, a little bit like the last game. Way down the list of things I was interested in. You?
Yeah, nothing for me. I mean, you mentioned that. No pitcher listed yet for the D-backs. Really don't have any interest in the Cardinals. And, you know, when they do finish last place this season in that NL Central division, you know, Malcolm's going to have a poster of those final standings with the Cardinals in the back. It's going to be framed right behind you. I'm pretty sure of it.
You know, the last time a St. Louis Cardinal hit a home run, Moonaf?
The last time a St. Louis Cardinal hit a home run?
Yeah.
5 games ago would be my guess.
April the 12th is the answer. It's now, it's going to be the 23rd tomorrow. Yeah, they're just absolutely shite. And the lineup not being very good is a bonus, because my entire fade was on the pitching staff, which is slowly going to fall apart even worse than it has been. So,
yeah
looking forward to already spending me money for that 16-1 ticket. 8:05 Eastern, the Seattle Mariners at the Texas Rangers. Logan Gilbert goes for Seattle, and Dane Dunning will go for the Mariners. This one's tight on the books. -110 for Seattle, -118 for Texas. Logan Gilbert is 0-0 with a 2.33 ERA. Three of his four starts have been great. Good length. You get minimum 6 strikeouts. She's really settled in. It's not taking him time to build into the season. Seattle have won 3 of the last 4. 3 of his 4. And he's handled good opposition as well. A key figure for me here with Gilbert is that 29-4 strikeout to walk rate. Dane Dunning had 3 very, very similar starts, almost identical lines, where he gave up 3 earned runs each time. But then he did limit Detroit to 1 in his last start. He's given up 13 walks in his 4 starts, which is a little bit of a concern. But I think those 3 middling stat lines, those 3 average stat lines, are very much what Dane Dunning is. They're the most accurate depiction of Dane Dunning's abilities. Now, Seattle have won 4 in a row. The question is, are they improving, or have they just taken advantage of weak opposition, because they picked up a doubleheader yesterday against Colorado, one ugly win, and then they blew them out in the nightcap last night. If both pitchers pitch to form, Seattle first 5 would be my pick here. I can see Gilbert going along nicely, giving up 1 or 2, with Dunning giving up 2 or 3. So yeah, everything goes to form. Seattle first 5, Moonaf.
Yeah, right there with you. Dane Dunning, we know he'll give up a couple runs. It's just in his DNA to do it, whether it's a home run ball or whether it's, you know, guys hitting for average, getting on base and scoring runs that way. And like you mentioned, Logan Gilbert has been absolutely solid as far as this season. Did have one bad start, which was against the Brewers, where he did give up 3 home runs of the 5 hits he did give up. More than that, he's only allowed 1 earned in his other 3 starts. And I think that's the key, that if he's able to keep the ball inside the ballpark, really limit the runs, obviously, like he has been, I think the Seattle Mariners will win this game. But yeah, first 5 innings as well. Couldn't talk you off a full game money line on the Mariners either in this game. I just don't trust Dane Dunning.
If you're looking for a little bit of a player prop, the hot back for Texas is Adolis Garcia, a 5-game extra base hit streak for Garcia, so maybe a total base prop on Adolis tomorrow if you want to get involved. 8:40 Eastern first pitch, San Diego Padres at the Colorado Rockies, where Michael King starts for San Diego and Ryan Feltner will go for Colorado. -175 for the Padres, and +130 for the Rockies. Moonaf, much on this one?
Yeah, Michael King has been pretty good, I guess we can say. I know he had one bad start against the Dodgers, or two bad starts, but the one that he did start or did appear in was back in that Seoul, South Korea, where he went 3 1/3, made an appearance there. But his four starts in on at least U.S. soil have been pretty good. Like I mentioned, he already faced the Dodgers twice this season, which was his one bad start here in L.A., actually. He gave up 6 hits in that game, 4 of which were home runs, but he had a very great bounce back start last week against the Brewers, but unfortunately didn't get any run support in that game. 7 2/3 innings pitched, allowed 2 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts in that game for Michael King for the Padres. Ryan Feltner on the other side started the season pretty good, I guess we can say, at least to hit standards, but then got absolutely blown up in his last start against the Phillies. 5 1/3, 9 hits, 6 earned runs, 2 home runs he gave up. He's exactly given up 2 walks in each of his 4 starts this season. I think this might be a game where we see runs being scored, at least by the Padres in this game. So I would look at a Padres team total over, whether it's first five innings or full game. You get all 9 at-bats with a road team here. If you want to look at the Padres run line here, I think Michael King can go along well here. I just don't trust Ryan Feltner, even though he had a couple good starts there. Now you're going to look and say, yeah, competent offense in the San Diego Padres here. So the Padres team totals over in this game, I'll look at a Padres run line as well.
Moonaf, you've broken my heart. It's taken 47 minutes. My pick is the Padres team total under. I like Feltner. I don't know why. He was great at home last start. I actually wanted to take the Rockies, or I was drawn to the Rockies, but you can't trust them. They're not scoring enough runs at all. Not even close to scoring enough runs, Colorado. 14 runs, in fact, in the last 8 games, and they've lost 7 of those 8. So the other option, because I quite like Feltner, was to fade San Diego on the team total. I actually faded San Diego for this Monday night game that's going to go off soon as well. So we'll have to see what happens there. But I just think Feltner can hold them. The Padres and the Blue Jays, the two teams I can never trust. So I'm happy to take Colorado. And let's give Feltner a chance here. But not to the extent that I'll back the Rockies. But I will take him to limit them. San Diego Padres team total under. Captain Insano points out that Ryan Feltner walks batters. He's walked 2 in every game, as has King. So a total walks prop, or either pitcher for a walks prop. 9:38 Eastern, first pitch is the penultimate game on the show. It is the Baltimore Orioles at the LA Angels. We have Grayson Rodriguez for Baltimore. We have Griffin Canning going for the Angels. I haven't seen any lines on this. Moonaf, do you have any lines on this game?
Yeah, I see the Orioles are a -155 road favorite, +130 for the Angels. Total is 8.5.
I mean, my notes to start with say Rodriguez, yes, Canning, no. That gives you a clue. Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes you don't have to overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
The Angels, we quite liked how scrappy they'd been at the start of the season. Well, that does appear to have eased off a little bit, and they're just starting to regress to where we think they're going to be. They'll get the odd win. Reed Detmers pitches for them on Monday. They've got a chance behind Detmers tonight. Griffin Cannon's been awful. He's one of the... There's lots of Angels pitchers that I liked. Sandoval's been going okay. We talked about Detmers. And I like Cannon as well, but he hasn't showed it. So at some point, you're going to have to take a step back. Rodriguez is fine. The Orioles lineup just never lets you off the hook. I'm interested to see how they got on with Detmers tonight. But a Baltimore team total, Moonaf, was my pick here.
Yeah, I think they get runs here. I think that you could look at the run line here for the Orioles here as well. I think it would be a really nice plus price. Let me see if I can find one here. I think the books have caught up It's a minus 146 over on FanDuel, but the run line's -1.5 at +106. So, yeah, I really like the Orioles in this spot. I mean, like you mentioned, Grayson Rodriguez, the Orioles have won all four of his starts this season, and they've been by multiple runs. They've put up 11 runs, 9 runs, 5 runs, and 13 runs in his four starts. Meanwhile, it's been the opposite story for the Angels. When Griffin Canning's on the mound, they've lost all four of his starts. So what could go wrong here? Did face his Orioles team in his first start this season. 5 innings, 7 hits, 5 earned runs he gave up in that game. So I'm going right back to it. Give me Grayson Rodriguez and the Orioles here on the run line, -1.5, +106.
Okay, we have one final game here to get to, which means I have to go all the way to the top of the page because it is a 9:45 Eastern first pitch between the New York Mets and the San Francisco Giants, where Luis Severino will start for the Mets, and the pitcher for San Francisco is Logan Webb. +130 on New York, -167 on the Giants. Moona, finish us off with a winner.
Severino has been really good for the Mets thus far this season. He has only allowed 2 earned runs, Mal, over his last 3 starts, which has been 16 innings pitched. The concern with Severino is the walks, right? Because over his last 3 starts, he's given up a combined 9 walks. He did give up 3 in his last start to the Pirates, but teams haven't really been able to cash in on those walks. The Mets have split his 4 starts this season, 2-2. But I just think that this is a spot where maybe the Mets offense has turned it around here a little bit. I know they've been able to win some games here. Logan Webb has been a guy traditionally you want to back when he's pitching at home. And I think that has bode well as well this season. He had a really great outing against the Arizona Diamondbacks in his last start. 7 innings, shutout baseball. He only allowed 2 hits, 5 strikeouts, and 1 walk. And I think my favorite play in this game is going to be the under. Under 8 right now. You could get that over on DraftKings. It is juiced towards the under at -125. So it looks like it's on the move there to a 7.5. But both of these pitchers are in great form, Severino and Logan Webb. So the under would be my look. I would also look at the Giants in the first 5 innings or in the full game here as well, as Logan Webb has just been an absolute machine starting at home for the Giants there, Mel.
Yeah, everything screams under in this. How you view the Mets, even though they have been better lately, the Giants offense, the big ballpark. I got a little bit cute last week and tried to fade Logan Webb. I'm not doing that again. That was ridiculous. The Giants don't do much for me in general. It'd be interesting to see how the Mets get on tonight because they got a beaten last night at the Dodgers. But they have been good, so I don't know if they're going to start regressing. San Francisco Giants, a little bit like the Twins, really. They're a little bit dull. 6-6 at home. But this is their bread and butter. A home game against mediocre Oppo behind Logan Webb. That's where the Giants will win their games. I like a little parlay here, Moonaf. I like the Giants to win with the under 8. That 8's a great number. I hadn't seen a number till you said 8. I assumed it would be a 7.5. It screams 7.5. That little half a run is a lovely safety net. The Giants will win 5-1, 5-2, something like that. Logan Webb's been absolutely brilliant. I mean, he goes 7 innings effortlessly, pretty much every start. So happy with the Giants to win. But parlay that with the under if you're feeling a little bit fruity. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've got 15 games in the books. So, lock and dog, are you doing yours on the fly? Remember this season, Moon, if I'm taking a leaf out of your book. And I wait till the end now. I thrive on the pressure, Moonaf, of picking me lock and dog at short notice. So have you got anything ready to go?
Yeah, I'll kick it off here. I'll go with the Orioles run line as my lock here, -1.5, like we talked about, with Grayson Rodriguez on the mound, +106, and a little bit of plus odds there currently over on FanDuel. I mean, we mentioned, right, Grayson Rodriguez has been really solid this season for the Orioles. It's been the complete opposite story for Griffin Canning. He did face him in his first start, like I mentioned, where he allowed 5 earned runs and the first 5 innings pitched against his Orioles team. And you also mentioned him out that this Orioles team plays a full nine innings, and I think they don't really give up on the batting side of things as well. So I think they're going along very well here in this game against the Angels, with Grayson Rodriguez going up against Griffin Canning. So that'll be my lock, -1.5, +106 for my lock there. For my dog, a couple of different ways we can go here. I mean, it wouldn't be on brand for me if I didn't take Paul Blackburn. I mean, look, he's been – how many games has he pitched this season? This is his fifth start this season. Let me double-check here.
He's got four, and they've won all four of the A's.
And he's still being priced at a plus price here. So give me the first five innings money line here for Paul Blackburn. Get you a nice plus price there if you want to take the bullpens out of it. For the Oakland A's, I think that's a smart move. So I'm going to split a unit, first five innings, money line for the A's. And then I'm going to put a half a unit on the full game there. But the official pick I'll give out is the first five inning money line with Paul Blackburn in the first five innings or against the Yankees there, Mal.
Okay. We had to get Blackburn involved. I'm struggling for a lock here because there's two that jump out, but they're really boring, but that shouldn't matter. So the one I'm going to go with is the Dodgers run line. It's a slightly better price than the Braves run line. I mean, you could parlay them two on the money line if you want. But like I say, the Corbin starts, he loses by 3 or 4. You could take an old run line as well. That 6-2 game last time, Dodgers against Washington, when Corbin was on the mound, is the absolute template for this game. So Dodgers on the run line looks an absolute lock. And I've disappointed myself here, Moonaf, by having no real. I normally have two or three dogs on each card here. I'd be interested to see the price of the Cubs behind Jordan Wicks. I don't know who's going for Arizona. They could be live. I'll have to go to that little parlay I gave out in this Mets-Giants game, which is the Giants to win and the under 8. And I reckon that'll be, plus 120, plus 130, something like that. So that would be my underdog, because rarely, Moonaf, I do not have a standout underdog tonight. So yeah, Giants to win in the under 8 in the Mets versus Giants game. Moonaf, I think we have cracked it. Anything else to tell the people before we go?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. Hopefully we gave out some more winners here for the Tuesday card. And we'll be back here at the usual time for the rest of the week between some variation of our host here. So if you haven't already subscribed to the MLB Gambling Podcast, please go ahead and do so and leave us a rating and review if you're not already. That's all I've got.
Yeah, cheers, Moonaf. That was fun. It's been too long. We need to get one show a week for the old people just to keep everyone happy. Thanks to everybody in the chat, Trev, Captain Insano, Randy, who joined us earlier on. And we appreciate it. All the crack. As Moonaf says, notifications will go out if you subscribe so you can be aware of the timing of all our shows. Hopefully, have a good week, because struggled last week. I finished okay, and the early signs, I'm 1 out of 1, Moonaf, small sample, but in about 70 games time by Friday afternoon, I'll know how this week's gone. Thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate it plenty. Until tomorrow night, we will see you down the road. Cheers.